Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
She's still got it. She's tired from going to the hospital, but she still got it going here. Man, oh man. Hey, we're in Psalm 91 today. Dave's going to come, and we're going to try to play a song together.
Turning back. to St. Beth from Bethlehem. That's called singing in tongues. Huh. Very interesting. I tried to get... I wrote this song, too. I tried to get them to send someone back to where I used to live so they wouldn't have to come to this awful place. Yeah, yeah. But they said, you already got Isaiah and Z. Open up the book. Take a peek. And if you don't, if they won't hear the book that he gave, won't believe someone came back from the grave. Play, play. Why I remember the words you play, brother. Wow. Oh, it's so much fun. Thanks, Dave. Man. If I could have just remembered the words, it could have really... So you got your heart broken too, and you hurt so bad you don't know what to do, and you think that you're the only one who's ever felt this way. There was sure another one, another day. Just so sure that no one's ever hurt this bad before. and even more. And he died of a broken heart. It broke for you and me. He loved us more than words could say, and more than we could see. His death not from pain he felt while hanging on the tree. No, he died of a broken heart. He died of a broken heart. Yeah, he died because he loved you and me.
Let's pray together before we read Psalm 91, shall we? Pray with me, please. Lord, you're so good to us. It doesn't matter what happens in our world, you are good. You are kind. You are so merciful to us. Thank you that every breath we take is a gift from you, your attention to the detail of our lives. It is so wonderful to be loved by you, like James Taylor says, but it's true when we think of you. Thank you. Open the scriptures. Help us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Now get this. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Isn't that an incredible portion of Scripture? May God bless the reading of His Word. So it's strange times, you guys. The quarantines, the no visitors in hospitals, the cancelization of public events all over the place. So many of you are upset about the Players' Championship being canceled. I'm with you. For those of you who are golfers, they've canceled the Masters. I mean, that's like canceling Christmas for some of us, you know. But it's a time, of course, to pay attention and be careful. The president puts together his task force, the National Day of Prayer. In the light of all that, of the population is totally freaked out over it. Have you tried buying toilet paper? Go on eBay and look up toilet paper. There's guys that have packages of toilet paper on eBay for $100 starting bid. If you're going to buy that, I have a bridge to sell you somewhere, you know. That I spend a lot of time this week just talking to people. It's what I do. And just the level of fear out there is palatable. So how should we as Christians approach this thing? How should we be conducting ourselves right now? So I got a couple of ideas. Not going to take long. You can wash your hands and then go home in a few moments. First of all, we have to do this. We have to exercise caution. Listen, this is a real illness. It's a real biological thing. It's real. And we live in the real world. And so we have to do what we're supposed to do to take care of germs right now and to make sure we don't get sick. Okay? Just because you're a Christian, don't take the end of Psalm 91 and think you can go out and lick handrails or something, okay? because it talks about, you know, he's going to protect us from all kinds of stuff, from we tread on the cobra and the lion and all this stuff, and that's wonderful figurative speech. But don't be taking chances. It's good to be cautious. That's a right way to approach. I've got a dear loved one. I love her. She's so precious. And on Facebook today, she's putting a prayer out. In the name of Jesus, I claim that disease goes away in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody pray this prayer and all of that. By the way, the Lord can remove this thing when he chooses. And it's good for us to pray about that. But she thinks by saying a few words, somehow her fear will go away. And she's just really petrified of the disease. So let's face it cautiously in a real world sense. We live in a cause and effect world. Something that happens affects something else that affects something else. Cause and effect world. So the laws of nature are not suspended for us. Germs are real. They're contagious. So take precaution. Don't take unnecessary risk, right? I mean, we got to do that. Okay. But in light of that, we need to step forward in faith. We just read Psalm 91. Let me read to you Psalm 46. I just love this. Listen to this. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. God is our refuge and strength. And get this. An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging. And then the picture changes into the presence of God. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The picture is, no matter what happens in this world, with the Lord there is peace. We need to step out in our faith right now and not be afraid. The Hebrew word for fear is the idea of the psychological oppression of what might happen. Psychologically, we let ourselves get freaked out using our imagination to think of what might happen to us. I'm sorry, that's the wrong use of the imagination. The right use of the imagination is to take the promises of God that he has given us and stand on those, that he loves us and that he will protect us. It was George Whitefield, the old guy from the 1700s, the great preacher that traveled the colonies, and because of his preaching, many credit him with the American Revolution. Very interesting. He said, "We are eternal until he calls us home." We are eternal here. We cannot die in this place until it's his timing and he takes us. That's a good way to put it. Psalm 34, let me give you a couple. The righteous, verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That's a great statement. So we take precaution, but we're also going to walk in this trust that we have in the true and living God who loves you. You put your faith in him for salvation to save you. He also keeps you. He's the ever-present help in trouble. We don't have to be afraid. That's a choice. This is the time that really divides people into two camps, those who trust God and those who don't. And I spent my week with people that didn't. People that are totally freaked out about their loved ones because they might have the flu or a cold and they think it's the coronavirus and they're just out of control because they think they're alone in this universe and that there's nobody that cares about them and that there is no help to be found. And the fact of the matter is there is. I deal with death a lot, right? I'm always dealing with the loss that people have of their loved ones all the time. All the time. There is such a difference between those who know Jesus and those who don't know Jesus. It is so night and day. There is no comparison at all. One of the great things that Christians do better than anyone else is die. We know how to. We know where we're going. To be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord. We know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. We know what King David said when he wrote the 23rd Psalm, when he looked at his life, at the Lord being his shepherd and taking care of him, and he says, "Surely, absolutely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life," or literally, goodness and love will follow me, pursue me all the days of my life, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can't lose. I hope you know that. I hope you've trusted him. I hope you understand that part. So I deal with this a lot. And what I keep telling people is you don't have to face this alone. There's somebody who loves you. And I tell them the gospel and try to help them and love them. There is such power in trusting. So much power in that. And it really just divides people. I mean, it puts them in two different camps. I think of the death of Bill Brown. I think the death of others who had such peace and calm, knowing that the Lord was going to come for them at any moment and that they were failing. It's incredible. What a gift it's been for me to be able to be in the presence of so many. I told you the little old grandma. I was just a young kid. I was 24. I had just been ordained. They needed to think more about that before they let that happen, but they let it happen. And I was this little kid that barely shaved, the reverend. And I was in this hospital with his family, and grandma was dying. And what they didn't tell grandma was that 2 weeks before, her grandson had been killed in a car accident. They did the funeral. They never told grandma because they were sure that would kill her. So they didn't tell her. She's dying in hospice-like care at the hospital. And as she's dying, we're all in the room, and she says, there's my mom and dad. You know, and she's naming all these friends, and there's my grandma. And she said, what's Billy doing over there? And she saw him over there and wanted to know why they didn't tell him. And then she said, oh, well, there's Jesus, and she died. It was one of those moments, man. I mean, listen to me. There's more to it than this. We don't have to live in fear. We need to be cautious, yes, because we live in a real world. But we're to live by faith right now. He loves you. He ain't going to let you go. So since all of that is true, not only are we cautious, not only do we live in faith, but there's something else. This is a great opportunity. And I'm not trying to sell people on God. God takes care of that business. But since we don't have to save our own lives, we can give our lives away. Jesus said, if you lose your life for me, you'll gain it. If you save your life, you'll lose it. Don't try to hold back. Live your life. Serve throughout history. It has been the believers who have risked their lives to serve other people. When I was in Switzerland with my brother, Dad, my other brother, the rich brother was with us too, and Dad was with us, the four of us, the amigos. I have a picture up in my office of the four of us on a boat going across from Switzerland to the Lake Constance to a museum on the German border on the other side of the lake. And it's sunny out. It's about 40 degrees. And we're all huddled on the deck. And in Zurich, I wanted to see the Church of Zwingli. Now, I'm sure you don't know who he was. But in the 1500s, he was one of the great reformers that came out to say that salvation is not earned. It's the free gift of God through Jesus Christ alone. And the church in Rome doesn't bequeath it to those who keep their rules. And he stood for it. It was really something. It's a time we call the Reformation. Well, his church is there in Zurich. And my brother, he is one of the lead theologians of that denomination. So we could get into all the cool places. And so Mark goes over to this office and talks to somebody, and a little old man comes out with this big old skeleton key. It was cool. He came out and went to this ancient little door and went, opened it up and said something in German, and my brother said, hit it. Okay, so there was this stone stairway, 400 feet up the tower, double towers on this church building, all the way up to the very top. Then you'd open a door and step out onto a grate. And I don't like heights, but you could see all the way down Lake Zurich. It was beautiful. There are doors on the back side of that building. When people were mostly illiterate, they carved scenes from the Reformation in the panels of the doors of the outside of the church. It's just a great place. But Zwingli was sickly. And he had gone away to some mineral springs to try to find some health. And in the midst of it all, he heard that the Black Plague had hit Zurich. And he got back as fast as he could in his weakened condition to serve the people of Zurich who were dying. He wiped foreheads. He cleaned up vomit. He emptied bedpans. He got sick but didn't die. And it was his service of those people that seemed to turn Zurich around. But he wasn't afraid to die. Remember Mother Teresa? When the AIDS epidemic hit, everybody was, of course, debating how AIDS were contracted and the morality of it all and all that. She didn't get involved in that conversation. She started opening up AIDS clinics for the infected, in-house bedding for these men that were dying with AIDS. She said, "Don't judge them, you just bring them to me, we'll love them." And that's exactly what the Sisters of Mercy did. What a good name for them, the Sisters of Mercy. And they loved those guys until they died, loved them to death. She didn't get involved, no, she just stepped into the midst of the disease and helped them. Medical missions is the biggest reason that in Africa today there are 380 million Christians. This is an opportunity, you guys. Do you remember the story from Luke chapter 10? There's a man who is attacked, beaten up, and left for dead on the side of the road. And there are three people that pass by. There's a priest and a Levite, the highly religious people. They see the guy broken up. They go as far away from him as they can. You know, they don't want to be unclean for the ceremonies. So they pass him by. But then there's this Samaritan Jesus. And I love Jesus using the name of not just a guy, but a Samaritan, the people who the Jews called half dogs, because they were only half Jewish and half Gentile. So they were they were half dogs, they call them. It was what Jesus says, a Samaritan came along and saw him, had compassion on him, ran to him, bound up his wounds, carried him to an inn and got him taken care of and paid the bill and said, "If it costs more to take care of him my next time through, I'll pay the rest of it." They had asked Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" He said, "You know, what's the great commands? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. And also to love your neighbor as yourself." And they asked him, "Who's my neighbor?" And he told them that story. Who's your neighbor? The wounded, the weak, the sick. So he tells them at the end of that whole story, "Go and do likewise." That's our command in the midst of this whole thing, is to be cautious, to not be afraid. And there's this word, opportunity, in Galatians chapter 6, which to me is so wonderful. Get this. Verse 9 of chapter 6. "Do not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." As we have opportunity, that is speaking of a moment when everything comes together. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in that. I think everything in our lives has been arranged by the Lord. And he's going to put each of us into the lives of other people. And all of a sudden, it's all going to come together. There's going to be a need that you can meet. That is an opportunity. Don't waste it. Take care of them. Ephesians 5. Oh, look at verse 15. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." And then verse 16. "Making the most of every opportunity." I'm going to change the translation. "Making the most of every God-given opportunity, because the days are evil." Listen, this is a moment. It's a moment for you and me to step up and live out this faith. We don't have to be afraid. You know, humans plan their course, Proverbs says, but the Lord directs their steps. He's going to direct your steps into helping others. There's just no coincidence with God. Allow the Lord to help you out of survival mode into service mode at a time like this. There are old people that can't go out of their house right now. Do you know them? Call them. Find out what they need. Leave it on their front step for them. Are there single mothers you know that still have to work during this time and their kids aren't in school and she can't afford health care and she doesn't know what she's going to do and you happen to be home? Come on, you can handle it for a few days. Step up and help them. I tell you, listen for desperation in the culture and speak hope into it. I mean, I think there's some really great things that are going to come out of this difficult time if we'll simply take the opportunity with faith, not with fear, and we'll take the precautions, but serve in the midst of it all. Okay, so you all think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Lord, thank you for your love for us and for the great gift you've given us to know you. Empower your people by your Spirit. Give us strength. May we serve you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.